Let's pray. Lord, we have come and gathered in your presence. By faith, we believe that as we come together and lift up these songs, lift up our prayers, that we are in the presence of the living God, that there is a Son of the living God, Christ, and that he is our King. And we believe and we declare that he's worthy of our worship. That he is not only great, holding an office, but he is worthy to be worshipped. We could never say that about another person. But Jesus Christ is divine. He is perfect. He is holy. He is all-powerful. He is strong, and he is lovely in our sight, full of mercy and wisdom. We humble ourselves before you and offer you worship. We confess that we need a leader, a king, a shepherd, a husband like you, and you have given yourself to us. And so we praise you. You have put us in the best of situations. And we come and pray that in our work of prayer, in receiving your word, you would be among us and you would be pleased to further the work of your kingdom, even with what we do tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Tonight, our devotional comes from one of the verses we'll look at, Lord willing, this Sunday, Mark 10, verse 16. Mark 10, verse 16. And I'll go ahead and read that to us. It says, "And he took them up in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them." So tonight we look at a scene which is unusual for the ministry of Jesus. As you read the gospel accounts, you'll recall that Jesus spends most of his time preaching about the kingdom of God. And not only preaching, but doing acts of deliverance, using his power to alleviate human suffering. He does that by delivering from disease, delivering from demons. But teaching and delivering from disease and demons isn't all that Jesus did. It may be most of what's reported to us, but it's not the entirety of it. In this little passage in Mark, we also find out that people would bring their little children, infants, it tells us in Luke 18. They would bring their infants and little ones to Jesus, not for healing, not for deliverance from demons, but they would bring them to him for prayer and for blessing. Now, here's the sense of it. Think of your favorite public Bible teacher, maybe R.C. Sproul or someone like Sinclair Ferguson or someone like Alistair Begg. Imagine that person in a conference venue. And what typically happens between talks, after talks, people go up to the speaker. They usually have a book that the speaker has written. Maybe they bring their Bible and they ask the speaker to sign it, make an inscription. But have you ever seen this? People approaching the man and coming not with books, not with their Bibles to be signed, but bringing babies and asking the pastor or the professor or the teacher, asking RC or Alistair to hold the child, to put their hand on the child and to pray a blessing on the baby. We just don't see that these days, do we? But that is exactly what is happening here in Mark 10. And we know that it's significant because it's repeated in three of the Gospels. Everything is significant, even if it's only repeated, entered once. But it's in all of them. We can know that this stuck out as significant to be transmitted to us by the writers of the Gospel. Now, what happened when Jesus is approached by people like this, with their babies? Well, Jesus says yes. He says yes. He receives the infants from them. He receives the little children from them. He picks them up. He lays his hand on them. He prays and blesses them. That's all that it says. Now, as you look at the scriptures, as you try to understand what's going on, it's a good question to ask, well, how did he bless them? What did he pray? What was he praying for infants that were brought to him, not autonomous humans who approached him and asked for healing or asked for a specific prayer, but these infants that were brought, maybe they were crying, maybe they were fussing, maybe they didn't even want to be there. What did he pray? How did he bless them? Well, the practice of laying on hands, the practice of praying for a blessing for children, is something that we have more details about in the rest of Scripture. And even if we don't have the actual words of Jesus in this scene, maybe the details aren't there because what Jesus actually did in front of all the witnesses wasn't that notable. He did what was commonly done when people of that time and in years past received children and blessed them. So let's look at what the pattern of blessing is that we see in Scripture. Genesis 9. Noah blesses his children like this. Genesis 9, verse 26. And he, Noah, said, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Shem, and may Canaan be his servant. May God enlarge Japheth, and may he dwell in the tents of Shem, and may Canaan be his servant." So what does Noah pray for his children here? Well, it's a prayer for prosperity over people, prosperity over other people. Someone in life has to be greater than others. And so he's praying, "Lord, I pray that you would give greatness to this child." That's what Noah is praying, in effect. Genesis 27, here's how Isaac blessed his sons. Genesis 27, starting at verse 28. "Therefore, may God give you of the dew of heaven, of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and wine. Let peoples serve you, and nations bow down to you. Be master over your brethren, and let your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be those who bless you." What is there in Isaac's prayer of blessing? Three things, roughly, if you categorize it. He prays for provision, food, for blessing in his work. Provision. He prays for prominence, once again, being over others. He prays for protection, cursing to those who curse him, blessing for those who bless him. So he prays for, in this blessing, provision, prominence, protection. And perhaps that is how Jesus prayed and blessed as he placed his hands on these infants and children. Certainly you hear that kind of blessing and the kind of blessing that Aaron prayed over the people of God. Number 6, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you." There's protection. "The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." So perhaps today, this is how we can and should pray for the little children among us. It's good to ask yourself, as we try to imitate Jesus, do you pray for the little children who are among us, the ones who are in this room, the ones who visit us? You don't have to be the parent. Jesus was not the parent. You don't have to be married to pray a blessing for and over children. Jesus was not married. He was single. Perhaps you could do this at the start of a children's class, or in the prayer meeting, or even just as you visit in one another's homes, going house to house, or at a place like diaper distribution, where people come and bring sometimes their infants, their children. What would a prayer for blessing, for provision, prominence, and protection look like? Here's what it would look like to have a prayer for provision. "Lord, provide what this little one, this baby, needs. Provide daily bread. Provide clothes. Provide good friends. Provide a home. Provide parents." Provision. Here's what a prayer for prominence could look like. Lord, cause this child to grow up to be a great one, with responsibility, with influence over others, for your glory, Lord, and for the good of many. Prominence. How about a prayer for protection? It could look like this. Lord, give this little one good health. And when this little one grows up, preserve her from the temptations of the flesh, temptations from the world, temptations from the devil. Make him, this baby, to grow up and to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. But there's one more blessing of old that was also prayed. Genesis 28 and Genesis 48. There it was Isaac praying for his son. Isaac prayed that his son would inherit the name and the blessing of Abraham. Jacob, in Genesis 48, prayed that his son would inherit the name and the blessing of Abraham. Genesis 48, he blessed Joseph and said, God, bless the lads. Let my name be named upon them, and the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. In this blessing, the specific one, he's asking that the children would have the covenant passed on to them, continued to the next generation, that the name of Abraham would be upon this infant, on this little child, that the God of Abraham would be the God of this child. The fullest sense of this is in Galatians 3, 1 through 9. It says there, verse 8, and the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then, those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. So here is one last blessing that you can and that you should pray over the little children, the infants here. Lord, may this child, may this infant have the faith of believing Abraham. Would you give this little child faith in Jesus Christ crucified? And would he or she have that faith be accounted as righteousness in your sight? Lord, would you bless this child with the faith of the sons of Abraham? Amen. Yeah.